The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rarely does real change happen in a single day. More often, it unfolds slowly over weeks, months, and years. And then one day, we pause, look around, and realize that everything is suddenly different. When each of my three children were baptized, we planted a tree in our yard as a sign of thanksgiving and celebration for that most holy day. A river birch, a fiesta maple, a flowering crab apple. 21, 18, and 16 years later, when I drive by our first house, those trees have grown tall and strong. They mark the passage of time. They remind me not only are my children older, but so am I. Growing up happens in the blink of an eye. The same truth is at the heart of today's gospel. 2 weeks ago, we stood at the manger with shepherds and angels gazing at a newborn child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Today, that child is no longer a baby. 30 years have passed. Jesus now stands on the banks of the Jordan River as a grown man, stepping into the water to be baptized by John. Now, I have to believe Mary and Joseph felt what every parent feels, that sense that they blinked and suddenly their baby boy was all grown up. And then in a single moment, everything changes. Jesus enters the water. The heavens open. The Spirit descends like a dove, and a voice from heaven declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, this is more than a beautiful scene. This right here is a turning point, not only for Jesus, but for the entire world. Because on that day, at the Jordan River, the world is once again drowned in God's love and saving grace so that sin, death, and the devil may never have the last word. What began in the waters of creation, what echoed in the flood and the crossing of the Red Sea, now finds its fullness right here in this place. God meets humanity in the water. And notice what happens before Jesus does anything, before he teaches, before he heals, before he challenges the powerful, before he goes to the cross. God names him Beloved. That is the heart of baptism. Isaiah gives us language for what we see unfolding in Matthew's gospel. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him." This servant does not shout or crush. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. God's justice comes gently, persistently, faithfully, through compassion, presence, and love. It's important for us to remember that baptism is not about what we do for God. It's about what God does for us. And that promise matters. It matters deeply, especially now, because we do not hear these scriptures in isolation. We never have. We hear them right now in a world that is aching, frightened, and sadly fractured. And we hear them today in the wake of tragic events that unfolded this past week in Minneapolis. A life lost, a family grieving, a community shaken. And once again, we are reminded how fragile life is and how desperately the world aches for justice and mercy and love and peace. We name this not to sensationalize it or politicize it in any way, but because the gospel itself refuses to let us look away. Jesus steps into the water. God's servant does not turn away from suffering. The Spirit descends into a real, broken, hurting, complicated world. Not above it, not apart from it, but right into the very thick of it. When Jesus steps into the water, in that very moment, he is called into mission. He is given purpose, a purpose that will change the world forever. From that moment on, Jesus begins teaching us how to love and how to belong. He teaches us how to forgive and to be forgiven. He teaches us not only who we are, but more importantly, whose we are. And he shows us how to love and live, period. So today, as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, we celebrate more than just that one event long ago. We celebrate the baptisms of 50 individuals here at St. Philip the Deacon this past year. We celebrate with 33 ninth grade confirmation youth who will affirm their baptism this coming Saturday. And we remember and we celebrate our own baptism, that very moment when we were soaking wet, claimed by God and sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And just like Jesus and all the saints who have gone before us and all the saints who will come after us, we too are called by the living God into mission. We too are given purpose. Not out of any sort of obligation, but out of joy. Joy that comes from knowing that we are fully known. We are fully loved, fully forgiven, and never alone. That purpose, our baptismal calling, is beautifully laid out in the words of our baptismal service. They are like cliff notes for Christian living. So lean in and listen closely. We are called to live among God's faithful people. We are called to hear and share the Word of God. We are called to come to the table and be nourished. We are called to proclaim Christ through word and deed, the very things we say and do. We are called to care for others and the world God made. And we are called to work for peace and for what is right, good, and just. Frederick Buechner helps us name how this calling takes shape in real life. I have shared this quote many times. He writes, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." Buechner reminds us that after looking inward, we must also look outward. Baptism sends us far beyond ourselves. We look at the world in its most honest and vulnerable moments, in its pain, its fear, and deep hunger. And in that moment, we ask, how can my deep gladness touch this? Now, the good news for you and me is that we do not have to do this alone. Part of our baptismal identity is that we belong to a community, this congregation, the wider church, and the body of Christ throughout the world. We walk together. We support one another. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. And when we fall short, and we will, we return again to the promise spoken over us. You are my beloved. That promise gives us strength to try again, to speak again, to love again, even in the darkness, even in the uncertainty, even in the chaos and competing voices of our world that seek to divide us and our neighbor. The baptism of our Lord is Jesus' first adult act in Matthew's gospel. And in his baptism, we see a God who does not remain distant, but comes down to our level, meeting us right where we are, and then entering the realities of our lives, soaking us in love and kindness and compassion, forgiveness and peace. Jesus comes down to our level and shows us how to love and live every single day. To love and live as baptized people in an unbaptized world. People who listen before we speak. People who refuse to reduce human beings to headlines or categories or simply cast them aside because they think differently than we do. People who tell the truth about suffering without surrendering to despair. People who show up again and again because love always shows up. It means that when fear rises, we remember that voice speaks over the water. When anger flares, we remember the servant who does not crush. When grief overwhelms, we remember the spirit who still hovers. Hovers over chaos and sorrow, over death itself. My dear friends, make no mistake. Each of us is called not to do everything, not to fix the world, but to do something, somewhere, faithfully. The place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger may be in advocacy or caregiving, teaching or listening, parenting or praying, organizing or simply refusing to turn away. And like those trees planted long ago, baptism may not look dramatic day by day, but over time, it grows, it roots us, it shapes us. And one day, we look around and realize that suddenly, everything has changed. Through Christ, I pray that you live out your baptismal identity. I pray that your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet in ways that bring about healing, justice, peace, and hope. And I pray that through you, God continues to change the world. One life, one act of love, one faithful step at a time. Let it be so. Amen.